Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Well, welcome and good morning to everybody here. All right, it's good to see here, everybody. Hey, for all you guys, maybe it's your first time here. My name's Jason. I'm the pastor here at the church. And for everyone who's watching online and for all you guys back there and all the different overflow, and I hear we have people sitting on the steps out there and standing out there. And let us pray, God, give us a new place in Jesus' name. And so now I do want y'all to know we're doing all that we know to do, and we will come up with some fresh new things to do to create space for all you guys to be able to come here comfortably and seated here. But either way, we're excited to have you. Know how many of y'all know this is a good problem to have in church, right? Hey, can we give it up for everybody who's watching? I mean looking at the camera maybe a little bit more. Love you guys, love y'all, fired up, man. And I haven't preached in 2 whole weeks, and so I have a 3-hour long message. If y'all are ready, now I'm just playing. So, all right, look, full confession. Don't lie. You're in church. Anybody show up for church last week? Come on, anybody show up? Okay, we had a few people show up for church. I'm so sorry, y'all. We were online only last week. I know y'all probably pulled up and was like, the rapture happened. We didn't make it, babe. So, no, I'm just playing. So, anyway, man, we were online, and so fired up to be with all of you guys, and trust you had a great Christmas. And, man, I'm pumped up about this new year. Starting a series, starting today, a collection of messages and series that we're calling Run to Win. Run to Win. We don't just want you to run, we want you to win. And speaking of winning, it made me think over Christmas time. I remember several years back, we bought a basketball goal for my kids. I have 4 kids. And so we put the basketball goal together. Let me rephrase that. I put the basketball goal together. And after I put the basketball goal together, we started playing basketball. And I was taking them out, y'all. I was just destroying them. And my wife looked at me and she said, Jason, let them win. Let them win. And how many of them, that's a problem, you know? So for you guys that haven't, maybe if this is the first time you're at our church, about a month ago, I asked the question, how many of you are competitive and how many of you get irritated with people who are competitive? And about half of the room said they're competitive. About half said they get irritated with people who are competitive. And I found out most of y'all were married. It was awesome. And so major marriage series coming up in a few weeks. And so I've learned there's something else though with the story I was just sharing. I've learned there's actually 3 groups of people. There's the group out there that you let the kids win. Like you want them to help build their confidence. So when you play a game, you let them win. So I'm just out of curiosity, where are my compassionate parents out there? You let the kids win. Okay, all right, like 7 of you. All right, so I think we know where we are in this church, all right? There's another group of people, and you're the group of people like, no. They need to know. They need to know who the alpha in the house is. And they're gonna know. How many, come on, where you out there? You come on, you just put it on them, you know? Now I've learned something. My kids are older now. So I learned there's a third one that I never knew existed. And this is how the third one goes. You play them and you plan to beat them. And you try to beat them. But if you lose, you look at them and say, hey, I was just letting you win. I was helping you build your confidence. I was just letting you win. I didn't know that third one until just recently, all right? Bought my son a little ping pong thing and the brother kept destroying me. And I was just like, hey, I'm just letting you build your confidence, son. Just letting you build your confidence up. So no, anyway, I am fired up. I'm so fired up about this series and so fired up about this message. I just entitled the message this, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's get after it. Let's just go after what God has for us this year. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't worry, we'll have it up on the screen for you, all the screens we have that everyone's in front of. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. We'll go there in just a minute, but I thought it would be good since we're starting off with running to win, let's go. this whole series that we'll be talking about, actually this portion of scripture will be our main theme scripture for throughout the whole series. I'll do different parts and different portions of scripture, but this is kind of the gist of it, the main, that we're all in a race and we want to run this race to win. But talking about let's go, I want to celebrate two things. I want to take a moment just as a church and celebrate something, excited about what God is doing. The first, I wanted to just kind of give you an update on our Christmas Eve services. We had 6 Christmas Eve services. We had a little bit over 3,300 people in all 6 services. That's pretty good when you only have 400 seats in the sanctuary. But bigger than that, we had 90 people say yes to Jesus for the very first time. Come on, that's the time to clap our hands. It's awesome. Awesome. The second thing, for all you guys that do not know, that parking lot that some of you just, you lost your salvation, you came back in during worship, you regained it. So I'm grateful for that and grateful for our parking lot team. We've been talking about what it's gonna take to pave that, to maximize all the parking that we can. We have about 130 parking spots extra with just the rocks thrown down there. But we know once we pave it, we'll be able to have over 200 parking spots. Over there, the last two service, this service, it sounds like this service and last service, we've had more cars than we've ever had over there. So we have been talking about raising money for it and talking about that. And we knew it was going to cost right around $700,000. So I came to the church months ago and said, hey, let's pray about this. We need to get this done. We need to be able to get better, smooth traffic coming in and out. And so I'm excited to give you an update. As of this morning, we have brought in $646,777 towards the $700,000. Isn't that awesome? And man, we're gonna sign the contract this week and get this party started, get it rolling. So I just want to thank you as a church for two things. One, I just wanted you to know I'm proud of your obedience when it comes to tithing. You blow me away with that, because tithing is an obedience issue, not a sacrifice issue. But you give so much over and above that in your offerings towards stuff like this so that we can move the kingdom forward. Thank you for that. And I do want to ask this as well. I said this on the video last week. I am asking our church this year, 2024, I know this is kind of a risk, me just throwing it out there, because I'm believing God and I'm asking our church, would you pray with me that God would give us this year a supernatural opportunity to move into a space much, much bigger than what we have, so that we can reach people, build people. And so I'm asking you as a church, let's pray and believe together and let's see what God will do with us together. Will you do that with me? Say, yes, sir. We'll do it together. Awesome. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me tell you a little bit about Corinthians. I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of Corinthians. Corinthian church was the place to be. It was a great area. A lot of culture came from the Corinthian area there, the Corinthian church. And Paul is writing to the church that's there. It's exploding. Great things are happening. It's like one of the places to be. And we should be able to relate to this very well, because we live in an area that's folk just keep moving in and moving in and moving in and moving in like crazy. I actually saw an article. Someone told me about an article. I looked it up in between services, and sure enough, shows the two top suburbs in America right now that people are moving into. Cypress is number one. Katy's number two. So we got to beat Cypress, all right? So we got to work on that. Actually, no. We need to lose to Cypress. So anyway... No, I'm just playing, but no, number one and number two, right here in our area. So we understand a place that's popping, that's happening, opportunity, stuff, all that's going. This is what's happening in the Corinthian church. And now there's an interesting thing that Paul uses, that he's writing this portion of scripture that we'll all relate to and understand. He's using the world of athletics. The reason we'll understand that, because we live in a world where athletics is such a big deal. We have the national championship right here in our city tomorrow, and a lot of exciting things. And maybe if you don't even like sports, you kind of know what's going on, because it's so integrated into the culture of things around us. So he's using this illustration because that's what's happening there. At this time, the games are going on. And so they would call them, they had all these different titles for different games in different regions that eventually all came together in 776 BC. And they brought all those games together, and that became the Olympic Games that we know of today, and that's still going on. Now, a couple interesting facts about those different games that were going on during this time. It was things like chariot racing and running and wrestling. They would do things like that. And it wasn't professional athletes. It would actually just be different people from their hometown that would come, and they did it because they wanted the glory, because their whole hometown would come and cheer them on. And if they won, they'd go home and they would be the man when they got home because of these games that were going on. And so in the midst of all of this, he writes this portion of scripture to relate to people that I want to give for us for today and throughout this series, which will last throughout this month. 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." If I had to pick one sentence that is the gist of my hope and my goal for all of us and for me as your pastor to help you over these next few weeks, is that verse right there. Run in a way to get the prize. I want to teach you. I want to show you in scripture, man, let's run this thing to win it. Let's run this thing called life to win. So next week I'm going to talk about, well, what is winning? Like, there's nothing worse in life than to run a race to win, to find out you never really wanted to run that race to begin with. And so what's the Bible say about what is a win? What actually is winning in this thing called life? And then we're gonna celebrate our 8-year anniversary, and I'm gonna talk about, behold, all things are new. A lot of great, great things coming up and excited. All right, get back to the scripture. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. Pray with me today. Father, I'm so grateful for everyone that's here, everyone that's watching me on any screen or listening. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're with us. God, I just ask, Lord God, that through this whole service, through this message, Lord, in particular, that you'd take some words that I say, God, and it wouldn't be my words, that somehow you'd take it and you'd pierce to the hearts of each one of us, and everyone could walk out of here today and say, man, God said something to me. God spoke something to me. And God, I pray that you would use me to do that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. So I love this whole run to win. So I have a question. How many of you like to run? Got any runners in the house? So I got any runners in the house? How many of you like to run to the refrigerator? No, I put your hand down. I'm just playing, joking around with you. But I did a little bit of running just because I wanted to, but because I felt like I needed to after a while, and kind of gotten into it. I like it a little bit. And I remember early on, I hated running. I played baseball in school, and I was more of that kind of speed. But I'll never forget this one in particular story. My junior year, the track and field coach showed up at baseball practice. And the track and field coach showed up, and something happened. I don't know if somebody was injured or what was going on, but they needed a certain amount of points. I still don't understand how it quite all works in the track and field world. But he came and he said, "I don't have anyone. I need someone that will run the mile for me tomorrow." And nope, there were no takers. Everybody's like, "It's my health." And I kind of felt bad for the coach, and I said, "And I'll do it. I'll do it, coach. Jason, thank you so much. Hey, you need to be here in the morning at such and such time, blah, 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 all that." And so I'm like, okay. So I show up to this track and field meet, and it didn't take long for me to realize I was out of place. I had my normal shorts and everything on, and I realized I wasn't dressed like these other brothers. They had them like shorty shorts on, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm glad I'm not dressed like that. Like, if you run like that, that's cool. I'm happy for you, but it's not my flow, all right? So I'm getting there, and the race about to start, and there, sure enough, race, set, go. Pow! They hit they hit, and man, I took off everything I had. And I just started running. And man, by the time I got around that first little corner, I look back, I am smoking folk. I am smoking these guys. And as I'm running, I'm like, I have like an innate gift I never knew. I am amazing at running. I didn't realize I'm a natural, a savant, a generational talent. I mean, this is just amazing. I get around that second lap and I am rolling, y'all. I'm thinking to myself, seriously, I'm going to the Olympics. I'm not even trained for this. And look at what's happening. This is just awesome. And I get around that second lap and I'm just like, this is amazing. And I get to the third lap. And when I get to the third lap, something happens.
right here. And if you've ever run before, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, get up from the sofa too quick. You're like, ooh, I lost my breath for a second. And so I start getting around, I'm like, ooh, ah. And so I get around and I get to the final lap, which, by the way, when I went, I thought a mile was one lap. He said, you know, it's four. I'm like, yeah, sure, of course I knew that. And as I get around, I'm like, now I'm at the point. I'm like, and I can't even breathe. And I'm getting to that slide. And the coach is so excited. He's like, man, I got a natural talent. And as I get there and I'm dying, he looks at me, he goes, now turn it on, Jason. And I'm like. I'm turning it on. I'm trying to turn this thing off. You know what I'm saying? And man, I get around that last and I'm like, and I can barely breathe. And sure enough, one person passed me up. Then another person passed me up. Then another person passed me up. But hey, I got good news. I did not come in last. Because that guy was gaining on me. And true story, I dove across the finish line. And I laid on the ground. And the coach was like, what happened? I was like, hospital. You know what I mean? I was just like, this ain't working for me, man. And so I didn't run for a long time after that. Okay, let's just put it that way. But hey, I got in that thing to win, man. And I wanted to run to win. And these guys had trained all, I'm here today to help you because I want to help you over the next few weeks to run to win. You know what? I don't need you just to run the race as a dad. I need you to win. You got a generation needs you to win. As a mom, I need you to win. Students, I want you to win. Don't buy into the lie of this world. Let's help you win. Come on, grandparents. You may have retired from your job, but you haven't retired from this life. We need you so we can win. You know, we need you. So I want to help us today. And I want to look in this scripture right here. I want to give you four things. I'm going to give you four practical spiritual realities out of this portion of scripture that you need to know. Now, maybe some of you've been around spiritual things for a long time, and maybe this is a good refresher for some of you. But for many of us, we may not even realize what we're in. We may not even realize what's going on. So I want to use this scripture, this part, I'm going to go back through it, and I'm going to show you four spiritual realities that we need to know, because if you know these things, if we're going to win, you got to know these four. The first, the number one reality, spiritual reality we see is this, is that you are in a race. You're in a race. I don't know if you know that or not, but you are a race in this life. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And guess what? Your race, you're not racing against. Your opponent in the race is not that other guy you work with. That opponent in your race is not that your neighbor, or your brother, or your cousin, or your sister. By the way, your race, that enemy, it's not your spouse. Matter of fact, you're on the same team, all right? Just wanna remind you, okay? You know who you're racing against? You're racing against the potential of God on the inside of you. You're racing against yourself. You're racing against what God has placed in all of our lives, what God has set the path before all of us. And the reason why that is so important is because so many of us, we get out of our race and start trying to run somebody else's. Now, this is why it's important. Because God, he puts us on this earth. He lives in our lives. And then he sets out a path before us and says, hey, I have all these things for you. I have these blessings for you. I have these assignments for you. I have this mission for you. I have this call for you. And inside that lane that he gives us is his grace. He doesn't just call us to us. He gives us the grace for it. He gives us the strength for it. He gives us the wisdom for it. Now, here's the problem. If we get out of our lane and get in someone else's lane, guess what's not there? The grace, the strength, and the wisdom to run that race. Matter of fact, the only thing that can disqualify you in an actual race is if you get out of your lane. You're disqualified. And so you have a race in front of you. It's not anybody else's. So don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Come on, that can be hard for us sometimes. Especially all my social media warriors out there. Come on, you know who you are. You start looking in there and you're like, they're eating that. Look at them. Look at them fit. Oh, look, and you see little things like, oh, we just did a little quick trip to Hawaii. And you're like, we're saving up to go to Galveston. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong, Galveston. Nothing wrong, Galveston. If you're from Galveston, I'm sorry. So, okay, so, move on. All right, so the point is, yeah, we have to be careful that we're not judging ourselves off of the race of somebody else's lane. Make sense? So, because God's grace is for us in the lane we are in. You're in a race, sir. You're in a race, ma'am. Now, this is what I will say. Allow others and their, allow it to inspire you, but don't let it define you. Right. Only God defines you. Amen. Only God defines us and what he's called us to do. Hey, let me bring it into our church corporately world, is this. Do you know there's certain things as a church that we do all in? Do you know there's other things in the church we just don't do as much of? It's not we're wrong, or maybe there's other churches that specialize and do things really well outside of some of the things that we do. We celebrate them, we cheer them on. It's not we're right, they're wrong. We don't think like that at all. We just very clear, we know what our lane is and we're running in our lane. Well, Pastor, what's our lane? To reach people and to build lives. Matthew 28, we're gonna go into all the world and make disciples. Every decision that we make, we're gonna make decisions to do what? To create space that we can reach people far away from God. If someone is searching, if they're trying to find their faith, they're trying to see, is God real, all that, we wanna have an environment where you can come, you feel something, yes, it's warm, people care, you can feel that, community's genuine, but you feel something deeper. It's more than just the worship, it's more than just that message, it's more than those, and there's something deeper in all that. We want you to feel that and be able to take that step, and we wanna be there for you. But that's not the only thing we do. We love you where you are, but we love you too much just to leave you where you are. We want you to grow. We want you to get better. The Bible says from faith to faith and glory to glory. Reason we have small groups is not because we need activities for the people. Nah, man, we wanna see you grow in your faith, understanding what the Bible says about how to handle our finances and how to raise our kids and what do we do with when we get into retirement age, and if I'm a student, how do I, all those things. We wanna help build your life. It's what God's called us to be a part of. And that's why church will always make decisions for those far away from God and make decisions for those who are in God but need to grow in him. We'll always be that. So the first thing is you are in a race. The second spiritual reality I want you to know is this, is eternity is real. Now I wanna slow down for a moment. Now I have a preacher voice. And I wanna just simply say, and I'm gonna look in the camera for this one because there's so many of us around here. Eternity is real. Amen. It's real. Heaven, hell's not a game. It's not an ascended conceptual train. It's real. Yes. It's real. Because many have the concept of it, but don't live their life like it is. Right. And we want live. I want you to know a spiritual reality you need to know is it's real. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the game go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now let me explain this reality. Your reality is attached to eternity. That's what I'm trying to say by all this. What do you mean that, Pastor Jay? Many of us in our own thinking, we think up to the level of this life that we live. Well, what about your life? And what do you want to do with your life? And things like, and we think, okay, and for 70, 80, 90 years, however long God allows us to be on this earth. But real reality is not just in this moment, but in eternity. By the way, this lasts how long? 70 years, 80 years? Eternity is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Maybe we should live more for that than for the temporary pleasures of here. So there's something about, that's why when we pray in faith that God will heal people in the here and now. God, heal them in Jesus' name. Touch them in Jesus' name. God, we believe in that you'll do it. But even if he doesn't, you know, yes, we mourn. Yes, we struggle. But we still have hope in our hearts because we know they're getting healed one way or the other, either in this life or the next. They will be free. You will be victorious. Maybe this life or the next, but you're gonna be victorious. We know that's what God does. Now, I do feel as a pastor, it's important that I think I say this. 2023 was a phenomenal year in so many ways. I mean, God blessed, so many lives changed. God's done a lot of great things, but it is not lost on me
that there was a lot of loss last year as well. My wife and I held the necks and cried alongside many a people last year, even as recently as up to the last week of the year. Things we didn't expect, and we cried because of loss. And by the way, when you have loss, you should, even in the light of eternity. Yeah, there's something God put in us to cry, to weep, to mourn. That's important that we do that. But I say this, I say this out of the reality. I'm not gonna give some Christianese shallow with no root thing to say that you're just supposed to say in those moments. I don't speak from that place, but we speak from a place of no tangible, real hope. Like, no, for real. Like, you'll see him again. Like, for real. God will wipe away every tear from every eye. For real. This life is really dress rehearsal for the real life that's to come. Like, for real, there's an anchor in my soul that I'll see the loved ones, and although we cry now, we will they'll be the ones that cheer us on as we come in to heaven one day. There's a real reality that we all can walk in. So the first one is you're in a race. First spiritual reality, you're in a race. Second thing, eternity is real. And I'm your pastor, and I love you. And if I didn't, I wouldn't tell you this one. Here's the truth. It's gonna cost you something, though. Boy, I want to be everything God's called me to be. I want to be the man God's called me to be, not what others may think who he's called me to be. I want to be the pastor. I want to be the dad. I want to be all these things. Okay, you're in a race. Eternity's real. Let's go call something. It is. Now, I'll say this. I'll confess. I kind of like nice things. Is that wrong to say?
No.
Kind of like, my kids call it bougie. It's being bougie, Dad. I don't think it's being bougie. I don't like fake stuff, you know? Like, I want Apple Jacks, not Jackety Apple. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You save 57 cents. I want Apple Jacks, okay? Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? And if you bring in fake peanut butter, I just rebuke it in Jesus' name. I'm just kind of joking a little bit, but I've learned this when it comes to like how much something costs. Like, there's really kind of just a couple categories. There is like, okay, it doesn't cost that much, so you can just go get it. Anytime you want it, you know, you're able to go get something. Then there's a second that it's like, you can get it if you want it, but you probably need to kind of like save up for it, right? So caveat to all my, whether it's young married or getting rolling in life, whatever it may be, is this. My wife and I had kind of this throughout our life. We've said this, is we can have pretty much what we want, but we can't always have it when we want it. You put a plan together, start saving up, and in 6 months from now, we can get it. And then you'll find out whether you really want it or not. If you don't want it, don't worry about it. If you do want it, go get it, all right? But most people do now go, oh no, I'll get it now. Clink. With that card, and then you will pay it off in 475 years from now, okay? And then there's a later one that's this. This is sacrifice. This is gonna cost something. But we have to do it. But it's a sacrifice. It's kind of like having AC in Houston. See, all my West Coast brothers and sisters who have moved here, and there's a lot of you here in our church. Love having you here. Like, when you got hot, you opened up the window. Here in Houston, it's like you close the window and we get the air conditioner fixed. If the air conditioner is broke, you call the AC guy and you beg him. And you're like, hey, the only way I can come today is if you pay me your firstborn child. You're like, come on. You know, so, I mean, it is like you sacrifice. You got to have it. But, you know, it's going to cost us something. It's gonna cost us something to run after this race. But here's the great thing about the kingdom of God that I can promise you, no matter what it may feel like it costs in the moment, it will pale in comparison to how awesome it is in the long run. Because you can't outgive God. You think you're giving something up. Oh my goodness, I'm giving my life up to God. Yeah, you're giving up that insecurity. You're giving up all those things that you struggled with, lack of peace, in your soul because it's all left up to you to figure it out on your own. You give all that up, and then now you walk into a peace that God has for you. Yeah, it costs something, but it's nothing compared to what God wants to give. I'm supposed to read the scripture now, and I keep preaching. All right, verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I've learned this. If it doesn't cost you something, then it's probably not worth anything. Oh, man. There's something. It's going to cost a little something. It is. I'm not going to lie to you. It is. To lay down your life, take up your cross, follow him. But when you do, the life of God will come and live on the. Now, here's the good news. You won't do it by yourself. His power will be with it. His strength will be with us. Say, God, hey, I'm going to walk in the lane you want me to. God, whatever you want to do, pray a dangerous prayer. God, here's the prayer. The answer is yes, God. Now, what's your question? God used, but guess what he'll do? He'll give you his strength and his power in it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. Last one, so four realities is you're in a race. Eternity's real. It will cost something. Hey, this year, say, hey, I want to grow. I want to grow in God. I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow in my faith like I never have before. Let me tell you what. Jump on the next steps. Learn about the church. Get on the dream team. That's our serve team. Get in a small group. Come on Sundays. Start getting in your word. I promise you, you'll grow like crazy this year. I'll give you a guarantee. And if you don't, you can come call me a liar. Come December 31st. But we won't have service in between, so you won't find me. All right, so anyway, tell someone else. No, I'm just playing. No, but point is this. You'll grow, but it will cost something. And the fourth one, final one is this. Here's a reality I want you to know. There is a prize. There is a prize. Verse 25, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And here's the cool thing. There's not just a prize in heaven. Do you know there's a prize here on earth? Actually, I don't have enough time to list all the different prizes that you can walk in, the hope that you walk in, the faith that you walk in. But let me give you just a few. Do you know you'll walk in love? When you say, hey, you know what? I'm in a race. This thing's there. I'm gonna stay in my lane, and God, I'm gonna run after. I'm gonna get serious about you, God. I'm gonna run in that relationship with you. Guess what'll happen? Love will start to increase in your life. Joy will start increasing in your life. Come on, that the little thing called patience. Patience will increase in your life. Man, over the holidays, people crazy over the holidays. I had more people pull in front of me and tell me I was number one. I was so encouraged. I didn't know I was number one to so many people. Patience, Jesus. Self-control. You start to walk in that. Hey, love, joy, peace, and patience, just that and up. Whoa, that'll change the world. People start seeing us live our life that way. Hey, everything seems to be going south. Things are tough right now, but you know what? I'm not concerned. Why? Because the peace of God lives on the inside of my heart. It's bigger than this, a state of mind, a position of perspective and understanding. No, it is something big. It's supernatural on the inside of us. We're good. Why? Because God's got us. He's got us. It's a prize, man. It's a prize to have on this earth. Some of you are riddled with anxiety because of things you can't control. There's just a, all the time. Some of us are so ramped up because you're trying to control everything around you. And sir, ma'am, look, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you this. Surrender everything to God and say, God, I'll do my part, and then you know what? I'm gonna go to bed at night, and I'm gonna trust you with the rest, God. It's a prize, man. I'll take that. You can't put a price tag on that. That kind of peace. But here's the cool thing. There's not just the crown here. We run this race. There's a crown in heaven one day that our Heavenly Father will get us. Matter of fact, this is interesting. I don't have time to go into all of it, but do you know there's not a crown? But you know, when you look in scripture, there's five crowns. There's actually five crowns. If you look, I'm gonna actually put it up there just so you can have it. You might wanna look it up later. I won't be able to go through all of them, but there's actually five crowns. The crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown, the crown of life, and the crown of glory, and the crown of rejoicing. Real interesting. Now let me say all of this. This is all great. But can I tell you what the real reward is? It's Jesus himself. Jesus is the reward. It's bigger than all the stuff and the state of mind and being. It's Jesus. Maybe you came in this morning and people come to our church and I hear different things and I'll hear things like, man, I like the vibe, Pastor. It's got like cool vibe. Thank you, appreciate it. And you may have came in and been like, you know, and thought these things, but you know, it's more than a vibe. I'm gonna tell you what it is, okay? What you feel when you come here. Maybe you came in, you're like, man, the windows with the natural light is so cool. I like it. And it is. And you met some great people, you know, you lost your salvation in the parking lot, but then you came back in and got it right back. It's great. And so you came back in. By the way, we don't believe all. Anyway, moving along. All right, so you came in and you're like, I met some cool people. It was great. It was awesome. I like the community feel that we have here. That's cool, but that's not really it. The worship was great and powerful and awesome. And it is. You know, it's more than that. I came and I listened to that pastor and it's so good looking. No, I'm sorry. I'm happily married. I just thought that would be, sorry. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. All right, anyway, moving on. I'm joking. Oh, he's relatable, funny, whatever. That's cool, thank you, but that's not it. Can I tell you what it is? You feel the presence of Jesus. You feel the presence of God. Matter of fact, we have made that the goal as a team. You know what the goal is? We want the presence of God here. Our goal has never been first. You know, we want a place that people like, where they feel community, where worship's great, where we have relevant message. It was never the goal. The goal was, God, we want a place that your spirit inhabits and we know it and we feel it. And that's the priority of everything. Because you know what happens when you feel the presence of God? Nothing in this world, nothing on this planet can take that place. Nothing feels as good as the presence of God coming on the inside of you, the presence of Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But not only is he life, he has life abundantly, and it's on the inside of you, and it's on the inside of us. So when Jesus is here, life's here. I get up here, fee-fi-fo-fum. Man, that was powerful, that was amazing. No, it's Jesus is here. And you know what? He's the reward. He's the reward. And I've had this, I'm gonna get a little personal for a second. I'm always personal, but I'm gonna get real personal for a second. At 15 years old, I had this vision and this dream in my heart of this Jesus that we're talking about, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And all these crowns we just talked about, I just always had this picture that one day, we all, myself included, and just millions and billions of people would stand before Jesus, the most awesome sight we've ever seen. And we have these crowns. And the Bible actually says this, that we would take our crowns and we're gonna cast them at his feet. I can just see how it works. I can see us having this crown of life, one of these, and just like, we're standing before the King of Kings and we're like, why do I have, I can't wear a crown in front of this. God, Jesus, if it wasn't for you. And we'll cast our crowns at his feet. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, you're Lord. And have a vision of a mountain of crowns, just mountains of crowns of people who said, God, Jesus, we weren't perfect, but we ran. We ran. And we at times might have been like, but we caught our breath and we ran. Sir, ma'am, let's run. Maybe you've slowed down. Come on.
Come on. Turn it on. Pastor, I'm trying to shut it off. No, 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 not yet. Let's run. You know why? He's worthy. He's worthy of it.